J-Dub, Rio.
Man, what's going on, J-Dub? Man, welcome to 50 Ball. Dude, it's been a minute since we last recorded.
It has, man. It's been, like, it's been so long. There's been players that have already been, you know, wanting to be traded from their teams already. I mean, they've always wanted that. But now we have even Kevin Durant. Like, he's making, like, an ultimatum recently, right? Like, so now he's saying it's either me or the coaches and GM at this point. So, we've had some players making some harder stances even since the last time we've talked. Before, it's like service level, like, trade me, like, right. In the nicest way. You can tell somebody to trade you. But now it's like, nah, you gotta trade me or it's gonna be oranges or apples. Like, it's gonna be like this. So that's...
Man, even speaking of that, I feel like our last episode was like right before game four of the finals, you know, back in June. So it's just like, man, it's been so much going on since then. Like, man, we done spent like 60, 70% of the summer already, so...
Yeah, exactly.
But no, man, I'm glad to be back, though. We'll do some catching up. You know, got a lot of good stuff popping up with us. Man, where you want to start off at?
Great news for the Lakers because LeBron signed a 2-year extension worth $97 million. That seems
big,
like
big dollars.
I don't know how much. What is that, almost 50 million per year, or is that more than 50 per year?
Yeah, it's like 45, 46 a year. That's some big money.
I mean, you can miss a decimal point somewhere and still be a lot of money. Like, I don't know. Like, so what do you think that means for the Lakers, though, that he signed that extension?
Well, it's cool he signed because it's been a while since he signed. He doesn't sign like a lot of multiple year deals. Mm-hmm. You know, like especially back in the Cleveland days, he was doing like a lot of 1-year deals. But it's cool because it brings stability. You know, you don't have that cloud over your head wondering if LeBron will leave. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, he's done it enough times to where you have that doubt in your mind to where if he's not committed, you think there's a possibility of him leaving, especially later in his career. It's like, where would he want to retire? So now it looks like that is the Lakers. And maybe he plays past 2 years, but at least it gives them stability for now. So they can start focusing on the draft, start focusing on getting some other agents in here with the team. And it just gets rid of that lingering question of, oh, is LeBron going to leave and play somewhere else? At least for the next couple of years. Because you know how the media does.
Yeah.
A guy can have like 2 years left on his contract anyway, and people are just like, where's he going to play at in 2024, 2025? Like, man, we ain't there yet. You know, so it just gets rid of that hurdle.
I mean, because funny when you say that, though, like when fans do say that, players already think that through. That's why they sign that to begin with. Mm-hmm. It's not as like you're aimlessly signing a contract but without thinking it. So, like, according to Adrian, you know, Woj, I call him, because I can't pronounce his whole last name. So it's just Adrian Woj until, you know.
Woj, yep.
Yeah, it's Woj. So Mr. Woj, I tell him. So LeBron already looked into 2023 cap situation. He was looking at teams that had the most cap situation that would be friendly for, you know, for his situation. So obviously he had 1-year deal. If he didn't sign his extension, it'd be one more year with the Lakers and he would have gone somewhere else if he deemed it good for him. But obviously it's not, because it, you know, he signed a 2-year extension. So whatever the options it was, he did consider. It wasn't good enough within that window. And that's how you get to the 2 years. So, so he's saying, I'll stay here for 2 more years. But he also told him, like, but go get Kyrie. Like, that's his dude, right? He's saying, go get Kyrie. And the Lakers have assured him that they are going to use those first-round picks for the 2027 and the 2029, which is really far. I'm like... Is that really that attractive? That's so far out. Like,
man.
And it's what? Because it's 2022, so in 5 years, like, that's such a... I don't know what you think about that, though, but...
Dude, yeah, I think it sounds further than what it is, too. Like, I mean, it's a couple years away. Like, 5 years is a long time, but it's just like... I'm still not used to even hearing the idea of 2023.
You know, yeah. Like, yeah. That's fair.
Like, this whole new decade thing is still sinking in. But, I mean, it makes sense. You know, you want to try to maximize this guy while you got him. And 2 years is just short enough to be like, hey, if y'all don't do what I want y'all, you know, if y'all don't do what I want you to do, I'll get up out of here. Mind you, he's going to be like 39, 40 at that time. But... Yeah. You know, he still probably can average around 20 points a game, 19 points a game, and be serviceable to a good team. So, it keeps the Lakers on their heels. It makes them, kind of forces them to be aggressive in free agency and try to make some moves, which I don't think they've done enough just yet. You know, they got a lot more moves to make because we still pretty much got the same team for last year.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't know what you think about the Lakers wanting Kyrie so bad to be a good piece, because obviously he's a great talent to put on the team. But is that something that seems viable versus, like, I know we want to get rid of Russell Westbrook really bad because he's just, you know, he doesn't fit what we need.
Right, yeah.
But is Kyrie, you know, do you think, I guess what I'm trying to think of is, like, do you foresee him being Kyrie during the, you know, if he's playing for the Lakers, he starts doing the same thing he did with Brooklyn,
right,
that he did with Boston. He starts, you know, missing games for different reasons. Like,
my thing is, if I'm the GM of the Lakers, I would need a plan B. Like, the plan can't be, oh, we'll use these future draft picks for Kyrie. Because for one, that's not a guarantee you're going to get him.
Yeah.
For two, it's not a guarantee what you're going to get from Kyrie. Talent-wise, I don't question him. But, you know, it's everything else that comes with him. You would definitely need a plan B. Like, that would not be my plan. That would not be my one and only plan. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have something on the side if Kyrie's one of your options. So, you know, I would, you know, those draft picks could be somebody else. Like, maybe Dame in a couple of years or just whoever. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler, you know, somebody. It just wouldn't be Kyrie and Kyrie only. Honestly, I don't even know if that would be my first priority. I would be aggressive in trying to get them. But, you know, you're talking about distractions. You're bringing them to L.A. where, yeah, I mean, you got distractions out there for a role player. So, you know, for Kyrie, it's a different scale. So, I would need to rethink that. But, yeah, Kyrie, I wouldn't stop there. It has to be some other players in consideration.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, they were also thinking about, what is his name, Miles Turner. And yeah. Buddy Hield is good options. If that doesn't work out, yeah, they can still reach out and try to, you know, contact other teams, you know. So, I know that people don't want to pay Westbrook for one, because he has, like, didn't he sign like a 47 player option? So that they could wait mid-season, because that's when your salary drops, right? Because the Lakers would be paying him for the next few months, right? He keeps playing,
right?
He hasn't played for free. So it's by the time you get to the, you know, All-Star game, maybe he'll be around 20, 23 or something million. Maybe that'll get teams to kind of be okay with taking on his contract, which is crazy. We're like begging teams to like take Westbrook. Like, please, Westbrook. Like, please. Like,
oh, yeah. They need a whole overhaul, though.
Yeah. You want to trade, like, I don't know who else you want to trade beside Westbrook, but it seems, I guess it's as simple as, like, just trade Westbrook.
No, it's not that simple. It's not that simple. We still got to move other pieces around. We got to make sure AD comes back in shape and Duke can stay on the floor. You know, because if AD goes down, that's a wrap. Like, even if they get a Kyrie or somebody, if AD ain't going to be right, that's a wrap. Like, it's too competitive. Mm-hmm. You still got the Warriors looming. Because you're not playing just to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, with the Lakers, and especially with LeBron in the final stage of his career, you're playing to get a championship. So you got to think of, okay, we got enough to beat the Warriors. We got enough to beat the Grizzlies. Moving Westbrook and getting the one other great player ain't enough to just get us over those teams. You know, you gotta be realistic. You know, I'm a root for the Lakers, but I won't be blindfolded. Like, we need a lot of work done to get past those top 3-4 teams in the West. So, yeah, I just can't put on Westbrook. We got multiple moves need to be made.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, when you think of these championship teams that have already won, like, with the Warriors have won lately, but because they have teams that understand their role.
Yep.
It's like when the Lakers won, like it was that long ago, but when they won like a couple years ago, they understood their role and they stuck to it.
Right.
You know, and they, Westbrook, part of this problem, I think, to me is not that he's like the only problem, but part of like them and probably like the whole team is like not, it's like being unwilling to play a different role than you're used to. And that's just all sacrifice. Like, you got
three.
Yeah. So Westbrook can't play like he wants to, you know, or maybe like LeBron has to play like a little different than he wants to.
Yeah.
Like, which is like kind of ironic because he's the one telling people to go places, but sometimes he needs to be different too. you know, LeBron can't always play like he did, like in his prime LeBron.
Right.
He can't have the whole offense running through LeBron.
Sure.
He's 37, 38. Like, you're going to still run through him? Like, he's, and he's going to be walking up slow and directing, right, and doing all this and doing all that, you know. It's, so that's something that they got to consider. It's like, when you got this new coach, right, like Darvin Ham, like, are they going to buy in to what he wants to do? He seems really, you know, passionate, motivator. Yep. I don't even know him that well, but I know that he just sounds very strong when he's talking. He means it. He's like,
got
hey,
that vibe, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what they need, you know. So I know that this is a good start for the Lakers, though, to get LeBron back at least. Contribute for at least 2 years. But I'm saying, like, overall, like, they have definitely a lot more work to do, like you said.
No, that's for sure. Yeah, and like you said, guys gotta start doing more of the little things. That's why I respect Steph a lot. You know, like, this guy's a small guard. He's setting off-ball screens for people.
Exactly.
He's playing to win. Like, we guys gotta get that mindset. The Westbrooks and everybody in AD not wanting to play center. Like, you guys gotta do what you gotta do for the team to win.
Yeah.
You know, set them off-ball screens. Move off-ball. Everybody don't need the ball. You know, we talk so much about who's gonna have the ball. I mean, move off the ball. You know, get in scoring position. So it's going to be interesting. They got some work to do, you know, but it's funny. Speaking about Kyrie and players staying focused, a big topic that's coming up a lot more in sports is mental health. One of the bigger stories that come up recently is like Adrian Broner. Mm. You know, he's getting ready for a comeback fight, and like a week before his match, he pulled out due to mental health. And this happened before too with Ryan Garcia. That's a young fighter. A similar situation. He had a fight coming up and he pulled out due to mental health, and you got a lot of mixed reactions about that because it's a comeback sport, you know, so you got a lot of testosterone revolving around that. So I mean, what is your thoughts with more athletes starting to pull out of their sporting events due to mental health?
I mean, it speaks volumes to what they could be dealing with sometimes. Like, players' personalities, like, if you're kind of like aware how they are, because some people are, if your fans more invested into their personality, not just like what they see on most, like Broner, obviously, like when you show me the clip of him, all these other, you know, crazy interviews had, trying to grab the microphone, and you know, he talks a lot of trash, right? And he's flamboyant, and like, he of all people pulls out. Let me say, he definitely got mental health issues. Like,
you believe him?
Oh, 100%. You definitely, yeah, because he was mental in that interview, like that
with Jim Gray. Yeah,
yeah, he going mental. He's attacking every person around him, and some people do that to like shadow like their own issue because they like just start to like, now it's like, you're the problem. You're the problem. And I'm like, all right, chill. Like, but he's. I mean, it's reality because I think it's a stressful industry that they play in, like especially boxing. He's trying to be, or is it UFC, right?
No, it's boxing.
Boxing, okay. So if it's still boxing, though, it's still stressful. He's trying to keep your record has to be good. He can be like one knockout away from people not caring about you. And you know, like, you're losing money, like you're using, like you're, there's a lot on the line there.
Right.
He talks so much junk. I know, like, he has to keep that up. He talks so much. You know, and there's other players like Kevin Love or DeMar DeRozan, and these are basketball players I'm talking about. For those, man, I know who these names talking about, but you know, Simone Biles, like, is there, or even like Ben Simmons allegedly. You know, I say allegedly kind of messing with you, but I was like, I say allegedly because I'm not so sure about him. But like, you know, what do you think about someone like Ben Simmons? Do you think his is for real, or you think his is kind of like?
That, you know, that's what makes it hard. Like, because I think it's valid. If somebody's really going through something, I don't care what profession you got. If you're going to that point, if you're at the point to where you're at your breaking point, and you're about to have a nervous breakdown, you need to take that step back for yourself and handle that. Because once you lose your mind, nothing else is going to matter. Mm. You know, your performance is going to decrease. I don't care if you got a desk job or you're a fighter.
Yeah.
If your focus and your mind's not there, and that's where everything starts at. It's kind of the root of everything, your mind and your heart. If it's somewhere else, it was just scrambled. You need to get that taken care of. What makes it tricky, and a lot of people won't say this, you got people that might abuse it too. It's like sick days.
Yeah.
You know, people get sick for real. But you also know for a fact people use sick days as an excuse to not come to work when they're actually not sick all the time.
Yeah.
and people do it. So it's hard. It's one of those things to where it's hard to call it out. Like, you don't really know if somebody's sick or not. And honestly, it's like, it may not even be your place to try to find out. And that's what makes it tough, though, because, you know, in sports, like a Ben Simmons, you got people paying to come see you, and then you're not playing. So my biggest thing is, like, you got to communicate that. Like, don't say mental health when you're just not prepared. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you haven't been practicing, or, you know, you might not have been training hard, so you don't want to look like trash out there. So you're going to say, oh, my head's not in the game. My head's not in it, so I'm not going to show up. Mm-hmm. I don't like that, because you should have prepared. Like, you're taking the checks, so you need to show up and perform. You know, so don't, I don't like it if you're using mental health as as you're pretty much lying, but you're really just not prepared. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. But if you're actually going to do something, which you never know, people, we're humans, we go through things, like somebody could have died, or you're just, you know, life is beating you up. That's legit, man. Like, if you're actually feeling that way, I mean, I respect it, pull out, you know, but the biggest thing is communication. You want to communicate that as early as possible. Especially when it involves multiple people, like the public's involved, you got an audience, you got people in the arenas coming to pay and see you. You need to at least communicate to them that I won't be showing up ahead of time if you can.
So what do you think some fans, I feel like there's some casual fans that maybe they don't take their mental health as serious. Like they, or like when they actually say it, they, you know, if, I forgot that, tennis player, but
you
know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, why am I blanking out? She's a superstar.
She was like really good, but she like came out and said it, and there's some fans that they kind of like treat them like they're not human. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, what do you think about fans that kind of treat the athletes like that doesn't matter, or they're, you know what I mean, or just kind of like gaslighting them, like they don't even know what they're talking.
No, that's a good question, man. Because you do got those people, which I don't respect that. You got people that disregard the mental health.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, you need to just show up. People got a hard time removing themselves, like their selves and their feelings out of the way. Like, people think, like, oh, I get sad and I still show up. So, you know, how come they can't do it? Well, you're just not that person. Like, you just don't know what people are going through. Like, just because you can deal with something, it's not a template to where everybody else can follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the struggle's different. You just don't know what people are really going through, and it's hard for people to remove themselves out of a situation. Like, we get so caught up in thinking, well, I don't see that happen, so it must not happen.
Yeah.
You know, and you see it all the time. I mean, in all aspects of life, you see it, whether it's race, gender, sex, you know, like, people are just saying, you might walk outside at night and be like, it ain't that dangerous. Well, you know, you're not a little small woman walking outside at night, so, you know, you might feel comfortable walking outside at night, but a small lady out there who's not a fighter, she might not feel that comfortable walking out there.
Right.
So people handle things differently. So that's one thing people got to learn. They have to learn how to remove themselves out of a situation and get their biases out the way. Because just because you show up for your little job and do your thing, you know what I mean? You just can't put that on everybody else. You don't know what they're going through.
It's like, you're kind of inconsiderate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, cause that doesn't mean like they're doing something good either. It's because you doing something different. That don't mean you doing the right thing. Like, you probably should call out the people, the ones that over here going to work. Well, I did. Like, and I'm going to tell you to do that. You know, how you handle your situation is your own, but a lot of people be pushing when you could just easily just call out.
That's true. And like you said, and they show up to work when they probably shouldn't have, and they got a bad attitude.
Yeah.
You spread negativity at work, and it's like, hell, you should have took a sick day or a mental health day, because you messed my day up now. Man. People don't think about that.
That's right. Broner, like, he just took it out. Yeah, he's over here at example. He's over here taking out on the announcer. He's taking out his opponent.
Wow,
I'm like, you can take it out, boy. You out here. It's almost like a defensive way. Like, he's trying to, like, go to great lengths to prove something, you know, to, like, verbally. You know, he's, like, verbally attacking. I was, like, just, like, attacking people's intelligence. Just crazy stuff, man. Like,
hey, that has something to do with it too. Like, the way you look at somebody affects the empathy you may have for them. Like, if you're like, you see a rambunctious person and they're wild, they say ignorant stuff, and they cussing and screaming, but then, you know, you see that they're down next week and they're saying, hey, I gotta take a step back because mentally I'm not there, it's harder for people to have compassion for them too, because it's just like, man, usually you're on 10. Like, you're talking wild, and now, you know, you're saying that you gotta take the step back, which is valid. I mean, everybody deals with mental illness or mental health in some way. I won't say illness, But we all have a certain type of mental health. Mm. It's like, you know, body health.
Yeah.
I don't care if you care about working out or not. You still got your bodily health. So it's same mental. So people still deal with the same stuff. But a guy like Adrian Broner, it's harder to have compassion for him just because of his persona. You know, like, dude's wilding, man. He, you know, he's in a strip club throwing dollars everywhere.
Oh, he's tripping.
You know, he's eating a female out in the strip club. Like, you see a guy. Oh, yeah, he's done. Yeah, yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, he got a video, man. Like, you know, he's looking up on strippers and everything. And it's just...
Dang, it's a cry for help.
Yeah, it's, a guy like that might...
Dang.
It might be hard to have that type of compassion for him, you know?
Shoot.
For the public.
Nah, I didn't know. Dang.
Yeah, he's a wild boy, man.
Is there a buffet going on or what? He's just like...
Hey. If you put your mouth on anything in a strip club, you a wild boy.
He's wilding. Wow, this is eating. Wow, yeah, that's a crap for help. I don't know.
That's a good point. Know. Like, a lot of people look at him and they'd be like, "Hey, he's wild. How could he say he got mental health?" But you know, you look at it as if like, man, he's been screaming. He needs mental health. He needs help with his mental health the whole time. You know, so that's a good point.
People can say all the time. It's like people be telling you who they are and what's the different way. You gotta listen. Obviously, the problem is people don't be listening to it. I'm like, I'm hearing this dude. I'm like, oh, something wrong with you.
We're laughing at it. We're too busy laughing. Yeah.
I mean, he is funny. Don't
yeah,
be
it's
wrong.
Funny.
He is funny. Don't get me wrong. It is hella funny. I'm still laughing at him. But I'm also like, damn, you need help, bro. I was like, yeah. He just, that stuff's crazy. Cause that's not normal. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's like Lando Brown from That's So Raven. You been seeing him lately?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dog. And he always drugged out looking and stuff?
I mean, he said some things, man. He always says stuff, and it's funny. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. He's super entertaining.
Yeah.
But again, it's a cry for help. You know, so when guys like that say that they're going to do it, they're probably actually, they're finally dealing with it.
Yeah.
A lot of people try to mask that stuff with jokes and humor and saying crazy stuff, but, you know, there comes a time to where they might actually try to deal with it.
His mental health is definitely, it affects the performance. It's like, you know, it's like Simone Biles, if like they can't mentally do something, they're not going to be flipping up, you know, 3-4 times for you. You're just like, why don't you do it? You know what I mean? If it's so easy, why don't you do it? Because
that's true.
I want to go out mentally, right? Just to do a backflip or something. Do any flip. You know, so people got to take that into consideration. You know.
I think people's attitudes, too, are kind of a reflection of how society's set up. Like, the average person, you know, removes the celebrities. People like you and I, you know, normal jobs and stuff.
Mm.
You know, a lot of times people do show up to the job, you know, still stressed out when they shouldn't, just because it's like, oh, you're out of sick days, or you don't want to fall behind in work. It's like we're programmed to keep going instead of feeling like we had the opportunity to take a step back. And it's like, I think the world needs to adjust to that, to where people lose that mindset of like, you know, I don't need to go in today if I'm feeling this way. I'm feeling super negative. I don't need to go into work today and spread that negativity to other people. Like, you need to feel comfortable enough to be like, I need 2-3 days and really get it together.
Mm-hmm.
And not milk the system. Not because you got drunk, you got a hangover. You know, but...
Yeah.
You're still technically sick in that, you know. You can use a sick day for that, too, but still.
I mean, you know, you can be hangover at work, too. Some people just be smelling like, you know what you did. Like, I definitely smell some people that smell like they had some activities the night before or something. I don't say nothing, but it'd be, you know.
But would you respect that, though? Like, you got basketball tickets. You go pay, like, Dame Lillard. You went to Portland to go see Dame, you know, and you made that hour, two-hour drive down there, and then he pulls out because of something personal or mental. He needed to get his hair right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you respect it? I know you're, like, disappointed as a fan, but what's your thoughts? Like, do you respect that still, or?
Man, I'm about to pull back my ticket because I'm about to ain't come over here. First of all, Dame, you don't go to Portland to see nobody but Dame. But yeah, I mean, I would get it. I totally understand it. Because as a fan, like, you just want to see them entertain you.
Yeah.
Just want to see you just go in and do your thing. And it's Portland. That's so hard. Because it's like, people will go for like one thing. Either you're playing Dame.
That's true.
Or you're coming to watch Dame's opponent.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, unless you're this diehard Blazer fan, you know, then you just want to see the other, like, individuals, whoever they may be.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I would definitely be disappointed. But it's mostly because that is the team. If there's, like, so many other teams, you see Milwaukee, maybe Giannis isn't there. But, you know, you can still see Middleton. You can still watch Holiday.
Yeah.
you can see, I mean, these are teams, like, if you're, like, casual.
Yeah.
Like, the casual fan. Now, like, if you're diehard, like, Lakers, I'll still watch it because it's the Lakers.
Yeah.
But if it's, like, you just want to watch, you know, strictly for, like, you know, like, a certain player.
Or LeBron, like, yeah.
Yeah, LeBron ain't there or something, you know, it's hard. But, you know, I mean, I ain't going to hate him because I'm like, damn, you ain't hate him. I'm like, you make the decision to drive up there and just, you know, got to be careful with that, you know, just, I don't know. Have you ever gone to a game and you didn't see, like, a key player?
No. I can't say I've been in that situation where I expected something, then as I got there, I didn't get what I was expecting. Like, no.
Ooh, Jamal Crawford. I was kind of low-key beefing with him at the Pro-Am. Remember when they come to Seattle for the Pro-Am? And I know it was $5, but still, that's not the point. Look, so he was supposed to play, and he came in, like, within the last, like, minute of the game. And he shot a free throw, and that was it.
Damn.
Like, I was like, really, though? Really? Damn. I'm so salty about that. Like, bro, you could have came in. He came in super, like, I don't care about this game. Hey,
that's almost, I'll be pissed. Depending on what he was late for, because now that's the difference between being late, because you late, versus I'm going to do something, I'm going to take a step back. That's different. Like,
I'm beefing about your absence, about your necklace, something.
Like, you just absent, yeah.
I don't think his wasn't mental health. But that's still one example. Like, I was kind of disappointed. I was like, me coming in.
Yeah.
Coming in late in the quarter. Shoot a free throw. Like,
I'll be real pissed, yeah.
Most nonchalant thing ever. Like, I mean, I'll just speak volumes about pro-ams, okay? Like, people don't take those very seriously at all. Like, it's pro-ams. You know, you drop 50, I wouldn't take it that serious. Like, it's just like an overly hype thing. But yeah, that was my... I ran about. Get it together, Pro-Am. Get it together. Y'all gotta show up from the tip. Come on now.
No, but overall, I mean, overall, I'm cool with athletes. You know, like, I won't even say use that as an excuse. Like, you know, if they're really going through something, I'm cool with them saying it and making it public. I'm all about taking, you know, putting yourself first. Like, when it come down to it, I'm gonna put myself first before anything else. Because, like I said, if I lose me and lose my mind, you're gonna lose anything else, everything else anyway. So. You know, you lose your mind, you gone. You know, you see these models, they're beautiful. And they lose their mind, they look like druggies, and they lose everything. You know, they lose their access and their resources. So, I mean, you got to take care of your mind to take care of everything else. So, I'm all about that. But I'm not about using it as an excuse because you were underprepared now. Like, you need to be prepared. And, you know, if you are going to do something, you got to at least try to muster it up to try your best to communicate with everybody involved. So, that's my thoughts on it, yeah.
Communicate what you need. I see what you're saying. You're trying to get people, you know, to let your staff, let your coaches know, or your psychologist, your sports psychologist probably available if they should have. Like, most teams probably have someone like that.
Yeah.
To consult with to see how you, obviously, so you can play. Because most things, they want you to play at a high level. That's why, you know, I used to study, like, in a degree that was very specific to that, you know. So all these athletes need someone like that on the team. Otherwise, you know, you kind of keep it to yourself and you know, it's a big weight on the shoulders, so people expect them to be this, like, perfect person that just, like, you're getting paid, you should do whatever you... Money doesn't matter.
People say that, yeah.
It doesn't matter. No. Like, you're still a person. They're not... This isn't shut up and dribble. This isn't, like...
Yeah.
This isn't stuff like that. Like, you gotta... We all gotta take care of ourselves, no matter what, you know.
Yeah, and life is about, man, you gotta feed yourself constantly. Like, people say, you got money, but you get used to it. Like, you can't just look at the same exact thing and expect for it to always give you new happiness. Mm-hmm. Like, we all gotta, like, feed ourselves new experiences and, you know, to keep being happy, you know, to get up and be recharged.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't always fall on your money, and, oh, it's cool. Like, you get used to the lifestyle, and the problems still follow you, so I hate people say that.
Oh, the same, yeah. I mean, you're gonna be... more of who you already are. Sometimes, like when people get the money, it doesn't change them to be, like, this better person all of a sudden.
You know? Yeah.
Although people don't get money to be a better person, I think. But people somehow think they will. It's like, they get more responsible. If someone's like, you give a bank robber, like, a money, what do you think they're going to do with it? Are they going to feed, like, world peace? Because you give them a lot of money? Like,
man.
What is the most... cliche thing to do, give, like, world peace. Like, people, that's the last thing people think about is peacefulness, but
man, No, man, actually, that was a good topic, I think. You know, I mean, it's coming up more and more. I mean, that was my thoughts on it. You know, I didn't know if you had any last-minute things or any final thoughts.
Athletes need to be on their own thoughts.
Yeah.
You know? Pay attention to those thoughts. You know, athletes out there, not just like professional, but anybody that's young or like all in between, and mentals, even at your workplace, you know, where you need to, you know, work, performing, just even just like in an office and things like that, you know, all those things matter. So just pay attention to those thoughts. Don't look past it. Don't let people try to make you sound like you're crazy or try to gaslight you, act like you're not really feeling what you're feeling. You know, just listen to your body like you listen to your mind.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
That's cool, man. Well, shoot, man. Thanks for joining 50 Ball. We got a lot more coming to you guys.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Yep. Peace.
All right, guys. Thank you for subscribing to 50 Ball, and thank you for listening to us. Please find us on Facebook and like our page, and use any podcast app and look us up, and stay tuned for more content.
Yep, check us out. Thank you for listening, and you'll get more content from us soon.
Peace.